Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Richard Lewis Show. I'm your host, Richard Lewis. Sam's here. No guests. Sam, you know, I've been trying to think of a way to open the show, right? Because we're going to talk about all the crazy shit that's going on in the world. But the bulk of the show is going to be dominated by talk about this Google memo, right? Because it's driven the world fucking crazy. Like, the world's gone mad. And I think what the Google memo reaction has made me realize is I've been wrong the entire time on this show, where it was like, I guess the way I've always framed it is, you know, at the end of the first season of True Detective, you've seen that, right?
Yeah.
And you know how, like, Rust Cole has been a pessimist because he had a terrible experience in his life. And he has a near-death experience, and it gives him a fresh perspective. And at the end, you know, they're looking out, and it's dark, and there's stars in the sky, it's clear. And Woody Harrelson says to him, you know, that look at all that darkness with just a few little points of light. And Russ Cole, with his renewed perspective, says, I think you're looking at it all wrong. At one point, that was all darkness. So if you ask me, the light is winning, right? Well, the light isn't winning, Sam. Russ Cole was a fucking retard. He should have stayed woke as fuck, bitter and miserable before he got stabbed and nearly died. And he would have been on point, because we're not winning. That's what this fucking Google memo reaction has proven to me, because we now exist in a world where you can't even identify differences between men and women anymore. You're not allowed to say there's any differences. We can't say there's any differences. I mean, we are scientifically a dimorphic species. We're not allowed to acknowledge that anymore without people getting up in arms about it. And, look, I'm not even going to get into the realms of stereotyping, because I don't believe in that shit. And I do think there's going to be outliers in both areas, but come on. When did it become inherently sexist to say that there are differences between men and women? When did that happen? Like, differences don't imply inferiority, by the way. You know? Like, if I said to you, hey Sam, what are you interested in?
Games, but...
And you say games, and I say, oh, well, I'm interested in, you know, chess. Rugby. Yeah, chess. Anywhere in that statement, am I saying you're inferior for liking games? I'm not, am I?
No.
If you might want to project that, but I'm not saying it. I'm just saying this is what I like, this is what you know, and it's bizarre, because the people who were getting upset over the memo, they're the people who believe in sociology. They're the people who believe in social sciences. I don't. I studied sociology. Sociology is bullshit for the most part. I've been meaning to do this. I should do this. Fuck it. I'm going to do this. Stay here, Sam.
All right.
I'm worried about showing my...
an audio delay, so I'll fix that while you go and grab...
All right, you fix that. Bring something up on screen so I don't show my ass crack off.
Oh, I don't know if I can do that.
No, I'm worried about it. I'm worried about showing my ass and getting banned.
All right, hang on. Let me check the delay on first.
Yeah, just bring up a picture of me. If
you want... What is this part of my job?
This
come
is...
on my ring piece, Sam. Right, hang on, don't do it yet. Because the stream's down at the moment, probably for like half a second.
Yeah,
the
it is.
Won't be, but the stream will be. Yeah. It'll come back. Don't worry, I warned them.
Right. Yeah. Right,
and now you can go and show your ring piece. You see?
Anti-ring. Yeah. The
anti-ring screen. All right, everyone calm down. Is it back now? Yeah, everyone calm the fuck down.
All right, I'm ready.
All right, let me just double check the stream's online before everyone loses their fuck. Yeah, the stream's online. Everyone calm down. Look at you all losing your mind. Good. Right, yeah. Right. You didn't miss anything. Calm down.
So we're back, right?
Yep.
Okay, so, because, you know, I worry, right? Because I got loads of stories, haven't I? And I've lived a life. And people always say, oh, but Richard, you can't have done all of this. You must be a liar. You must be like the people in Didn't Happen. You're a hypocrite. I hear that a lot, that I must be full of shit, you know, because I've done a bunch of stuff. So this is what the key text when I studied sociology, okay? This is by Michael Haralambos, Sociology, New Directions. They're probably not new anymore. But this is back when sociology had a little bit more nuance than what's being taught today, to give you an idea. You know how, like, they teach that race, for example, is privilege. What is it? Privilege plus power equals racism. And it's got nothing to do with race, yeah? Okay, well, let me just show you. This is just the opening chapter on race. Let me show you how thick it is. This is back when I studied sociology, of course. And yeah, there we go. So that is just the race bit, right? And in there, what you'll see is, you'll see, you know, different approaches. How do we handle and interpret stuff? Inherent with sociology, with the social sciences, was the understanding that it was just different interpretations and different theories, and you could collect data to substantiate a theory, but in no way could it ever be true in the same way a hard science is. Okay? And that was how we were taught. Now, I talked to some sociology students who were going to college and university around the world recently, and they're being told sociology is a science. Like, it's just a hard science. Well, it's not. And what's super interesting is, what sociology does is it finds fundamental theories to explain why things are different. And it finds those theories, and it tries to explain them with quantitative and qualitative data. That's what it does. And then, you have a theory, and this is where what it has got in common with science is, you test that theory by looking up data, and you find data to kind of embolden the theory. But in no way can anything sociological be ever empirically true, because we're talking about the inner workings of the human mind extrapolated over a group of people. So it's nonsense. So this memo shit has blown my fucking mind, Sam, and I thought we were winning. I really did. I thought common sense was going to prevail, but it's not. And in fact, what I've seen is, I've seen the horseshoe theory in action as well. And, I'd always kind of suspected it to be true, but just recent events have proven it beyond any reasonable doubt that it is true. And the horseshoe theory, for those that don't know, is the belief that the extreme left and the extreme right are closer to each other than they are to any political center. And the hysteria from the right and the conservatives over this memo has been exactly parallel to the hysteria from the left. I'm just going to say this, we're not even in the memo section. We're going to do some funny stuff before that. But I wanted to just basically preface what the show will primarily be about, so you can fuck off if you don't want to hear it. Right? I'm giving you fair warning. But, if I decided to send a memo, right, a manifesto to everybody where I worked, I'd probably be getting pulled into HR myself. And I don't think it's necessarily the way to go about things. If this guy had an issue with diversity courses that were mandatory and he was being sent upon, he should have leaked this to the media, to the press. He should have gone to a fucking journalist and done it secretively. You don't just come out and fucking say, here's my manifesto. You know who writes manifestos? Anders Breivik wrote a manifesto. Do you know what I mean? Like, what are you thinking?
Elliot Rodger writes manifestos.
What, the communists wrote a manifesto. What are you doing? You're not a political movement. You're a fucking dude who works at a company, and your manifesto, your personal fucking manifesto, doesn't matter because you work for a company whose manifesto you agree to buy into when you work there. So this hysteria, oh my God, they fired him. Yeah, probably that was on the cards. Yeah, right about the time you hit send. I will just send this to all of my coworkers. Yeah, right about that time you probably's got to accept that you are going to get fired. It's not, it's a corporation. There's no free exchange of ideas happening around a table. You know, if Google says diversity, 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 accept your opinions. We don't want diversity of opinions. You've got two choices at this point. You can either be a little fucking, you know, terrorist within the organization and bring it down from inside. You know, I mean, allegorically, not literally. You know, you leak things to the press. You expose their hypocrisy, stupidity, potentially illegal activity from within, so they're held accountable by an external body. You basically act as a whistleblower, or you fucking leave. That's your choices. It's not, I will send my own manifesto to the company to create a dialogue, and, nah, dude, you handled this like a fucking putz. What are you doing? So we'll get into that. I mean, we'll get into that. But yeah, we're losing, Sam. We're losing. We're losing. We're losing because we think rationality and logic and common sense is going to prevail. Doesn't matter, does it? Because all the state apparatus now are being taken over by people with this fucking warped ideology. If all the tech companies are run by people who think this way, what do you think happens on a long enough timescale? If all the universities are controlled by people who think this way, what do we think happens to the generation of people who come through that higher education? They're indoctrinated. And this is why the shutting down of dissenting opinions should worry people. It could just as easily go the other way at some point in the future. Yes, your ideologies are the prevalent. Hello, Thunder. Stormy night. It's a scary movie, this. You know, your ideology might be the prevalent thought now, might be what's popular now, might not be in the future, but all the state apparatus is going to be there. You might all agree with what's being pushed through now and what people are being indoctrinated with now and what people are being told now is what you have to believe. There are no differences between genders at all, none whatsoever. Like, in the leftist future, we're all just fucking mannequins with plastic mounds instead of genitals. No distinguishing features whatsoever. No distinguishing personalities whatsoever. We're all one color, right? Which is hilarious because they claim to be the party of diversity. We don't have sex or anything. We just kind of breed asexually. We just reproduce and create other fucking boring clones of ourselves. And we just exist in this completely flat, leveled out state as if we're all on citalopram. That's the future they want, and they're getting it. It's happening. It really is happening because there's no common sense. There's no common sense reaction to this memo. Like, here's the common sense. Should he have been disciplined? Absolutely. Should the result of that discipline been firing? Quite possibly, probably. I would even go so far as to say his values are clearly not compatible with the company that is paying his wages, and they're a huge and highly influential company within Silicon Valley. When you join a company like that, you sign a document to say, yes, your values are my values now, corporate overlords. You do that. But this idea that he said anything that was inherently evil or is mental. It's so divorced from reality. I saw journalists who clearly didn't even read the memo, quoting the memo. But they're quoting nothing because he didn't say any of that shit. Like you say, we'll get into that later. Let's do some fun stuff. Ha ha ha, the world is going to shit. It's all so funny. Let's do some fun.
Before we do it, let's have another restart of the stream. Just give me 10 more seconds. Fix this audio. Why? Delay.
What's up? Why? What audio?
Your mic is doing that thing. Well, your video, rather. Where we got that 700 okay. milliseconds. So we'll fix it now. Stop everyone raging.
Mm.
Right, there we go. Right, we'll be back now. There we go. We're good.
Right, okay, good. Right, great job, Sam. So... We're definitely live now.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, okay, good. God sent this just before we went live. This is the problem. This is where lawyers have to get involved now at this point. Because you may remember that a certain streamer said that I was a white nationalist.
Yeah.
You may remember that.
I do.
So I think we're at the stage now where it is time to like just use the weight of working for a major TV media company. Because just look at this. You'll love this. What do you think comes up when you search for this stream on Google? What do you think the second thing is?
I don't know. Tell me.
Have a look.
Fucking hell.
Yeah, what bring, the fuck? Bring the picture up. So who do you, how do you even go about that? This is Twitch, by the way. This is Twitch enabling a Twitch partner to label another Twitch partner as a white supremacist with absolutely zero evidence whatsoever and fully supporting that being spread. That is the second highest thing that comes up when you follow this stream, when you search for this stream. Richard Lewis is a white nationalist. So, you know, I guess that's a reasonable thing to have happen, isn't it? So, yeah, that's fine. Right, okay, funny stuff. Let's do some funny stuff, shall we? What should we do that's funny, Sam? What's hilariously funny? Let's have a look. Okay. We can go with this one. We slammed the Emoji Movie, obviously, on the last show because it's a piece of fucking garbage created by a corporate fucking think tank. What do kids like? They're all using them emojis, innit? What if we had a movie about an emoji? I mean, at this point, right, Patrick Stewart is just dead to me. He actually died in Logan. That's my mind. He's dead. He plays the turd emoji, Sam. Sir Patrick Stewart, right, with this... Yeah, Sir Patrick Stewart with this legacy of classically trained acting, incredible, you know, incredibly talented guy, great mind, you know, really brought gravitas to like even simple TV roles, you know, like Picard or whatever. He's playing a fucking talking shit. This is the future, Sam. This is the future that we live in. Fuck the future is now. You know, Orwell and Huxley didn't talk about this. They didn't talk about Sir Patrick Stewart being a talking shit in a movie, did they? They didn't talk about that.
There's no way you needed but it's that happened. Money, man. Why have you done that to yourself?
It's mad, isn't it? It's so mad. And here's the thing. Like, you know, when he had that meltdown, that drunken meltdown, and embarrassed himself having an argument with James Corden, I let it go. I watched this documentary when they were talking about Red Dwarf. Do you remember? You remember Red Dwarf, right?
Yeah.
Red Dwarf is a UK sci-fi comedy, and they had Patrick Stewart on there because obviously there was parallels between Red Dwarf and Star Trek, and he tells the first time he watched Red Dwarf, and he went, "And I was just about to reach over to the phone to call my lawyer." But then I thought, hang on, this is rather funny. And I thought, bit of a prickish thing to do that your immediate thought was that. But all right, I let that go. But I can't let this go, mate. I can't. You fucked everything up, mate. You know? You have said, for money, my legacy will now be for a generation of children who will never truly know who I am or what I've contributed to the cultural zeitgeist. I am a talking shit. That's it. That's what they'll think of. Sir Patrick Stewart, wasn't he in that adaptation of Moby Dick? Nah, talking turd, wasn't he? That's that. So anyway, the Emoji Movie, right? Just grotesque. TJ Miller, mentally ill. Patrick Stewart, shilling. Turning himself into an anthropomorphic turd.
For quid. Cash.
For quid. But some guy liked it. And this is how we know some guy liked it, because as reported in the Ottawa Sun, some guy was caught jerking off.
Why, though?
While watching the Emoji Movie over in Howell, New Jersey. Authorities say a man has been charged with performing a lewd act on himself during a screening of the Emoji Movie in New Jersey. The Howell Police Department said 43-year-old. If you're 43 and you're going to watch the Emoji Movie,
you're jetting in the cinema at 43.
You better have kids with you.
You better not. You better have... if you're jetting in the cinema.
When you do that. I mean, if you're going to watch the movie, you better have a reason to go. I'm not saying if you're jetting, obviously, you better have kids with you. That makes it worse if you're jetting in front of the kids. But he's got no reason to be there. He's 43 fucking years old. It's a kid's film.
Jetting over that turd emoji, mate. Andrew Stewart getting it right in the eyes.
It's the worst thing, right? He went in and they had to publicly put the fucking surveillance image of him out. Now,
do you know this man? He was wanking over a pizza emoji.
Turn yourself in as soon as you've jetted. We all feel a bit guilty at the end. Turn yourself in. Can you imagine that going round your neighbourhood? Have you seen this man? He jetted to the Emoji Movie. He was particularly turned out. Like, come on, mate. Unbelievable. Eyewitness account said they'd seen him in the theater with his hands down his pants, which were unbuttoned and unzipped. Then the man was escorted out of the building by theater staff, and the woman later called the police. Like, he didn't even discreetly do it. He must have had a bust. He better have a condition.
Condition? What, non-situs? What kind of condition do you need?
I don't know. There might be that's going to have to be his defence, that he had a medical condition.
Your Honour, I am a nonce.
It's just ridiculous. Like, so one guy like the Emoji Movie. So there's that. What else? Some cunt. This is just retarded. This came through. Obviously, I look at all the local crime stuff because that's when we get, a lot of funny stories from. So this guy, okay, decided to shoot an armadillo. Right? I don't know why. I don't know what this armadillo was doing. This is in Texas, of course. Yeah. So he saw an armadillo. He pulls his piece, shoots the armadillo. But because it's an armadillo, the bullet ricocheted off the armor, because the clue's in the name, and it hit him in the head.
Boy.
So police are now investigating what happened. The armadillo is still at large.
Yeah, armadillo is wanted. Oh. We believe he has crack on him.
It is the thing. People are saying this is fake news. Yeah, it's not, unfortunately. I wish it was. It's been picked up by the mainstream media. It's so retarded. I double-checked that. Unfortunately, unless the guy is lying to cover up a failed suicide attempt. Right, so we got that. Also, as well, last show we talked a lot about Game of Thrones. Game of Thrones remains the most woke TV show, apparently. I didn't know this. I didn't know how woke Game of Thrones was. Here's the thing. When something is devoid of any artistic merit, you can just project anything you want onto it, can't you? Because it's a blank canvas, ultimately. You know, I think Game of Thrones works on two levels, right? And it works on the level of, here's a very simple narrative about a woman and some dragons and some zombies and people are fighting over a throne and is Jon Snow an idiot, right? It works on that level, just a very basic what you see level. And then beneath that, where there would ordinarily in almost any other form of art be a layer of complexity, there is just nothing. There is just literally zero. You've just plummeted into the depths of, you know, artistic death, basically. And as a result of that, you can just make anything up that you want. to say about Game of Thrones, which is why it's a very popular show. It serves a dual purpose, because obviously it's an incredibly watched show. People love to watch it. People think it's great. People think it's fucking gangbusters. I watch it, you know, and I fucking hate it. I hate every minute while I'm watching it. I'm like that guy in the fucking emoji movie cinema watching Game of Thrones, just hating myself. Why am I doing this? Why?
That pizza's a dirty bitch, though.
Why am I doing this to myself? I wish I could stop this compulsion, but I can't. I'm too invested. I want to get to the end, and then I want to sneeringly look back and just say, what the fuck? That was garbage, wasn't it? I mean, I did waste over 100 hours of my life that I won't get back. My precious, evaporating life. But, you know, whatever. All right? No problem. So anyway, because it's popular, you can just put hitch any bullshit theory in your mind to it, right? And people will be like, oh, a Game of Thrones article. I'll click on this. And it's just garbage. Okay? But also because there's nothing there. There is no substance. You can just make shit up and people go, yeah, probably. Probably is that. So we had how the last episode was actually about workplace sexism. I'm sure that's what Mr. Martin had in mind when he made that scene, right? Jon Snow's finally met Daenerys. Yeah, it's not even in the books because he doesn't even write anymore. He just keeps all his sick, demented fantasies to himself instead of putting them out to the public these days. And so it's really about workplace discrimination. But this one, this is a big one, Sam. It is a message that the same episode was also a message to Black America.
What is that?
Right? And this is according to Michael Harriet, who writes over at one of my favorite publications, The Root. A black supremacist publication, which apparently that can't exist. Definitely can, according to old sociology. New sociology can't exist. Okay, no problem. Anyway, so how's he interpreting it? Well, here you go. What does it all mean? So for 3 weeks, we have preached about how Game of Thrones teaches everything we need to know about white America. Maybe history could do that, you know, like something with a bit more merit, but okay. So this week, you might expect us to joke about how Sansa could have cooked for Bran when he came home from that long road trip, or how Euron Greyjoy is turning into Anthony Scaramucci. I mean, Scaramucci doesn't even have a job. I don't know. I don't see it myself. I bet you just knew we would have an extended discussion about the scene where the official from the Iron Bank lamented how its investments in the slave trade were doing poorly. Instead, this week, the Game of Thrones writers created an episode that spoke in coded language, dropping jewels only black people could pick up. While there are too many to name, here are the major keys dropped by episode 3 of this season of Game of Thrones. Beware of white allies. Okay. What happens when you mix white feminism with white privilege and add a dash of white allyship? You get Daenerys Targaryen, of course. The physical embodiment of the word problematic. This isn't satire, Sam.
He's really imagine how fucked your head's got to be if you're watching Game of Thrones and this is what's going through your head, though. I'd imagine never being able to escape that mental illness. Imagine that being your life.
It's horrible. Straight voices.
I hear them. Right. This is a message to Black like America.
Right, just look at this though. It gets better though. Her only accomplishments were achieved because she was born in the right family and had dragons dropped in her lap. Yet she expects everyone she comes in contact with to bend the knee.
Because of those dragons, that is like.
The only reason Daenerys even pretends to care about the rise of the alt-white walkers is that she needs an endorsement from our people in the North. Trust me, Daenerys Hillary Targaryen Clinton doesn't believe that unsullied lives matter. We need black leaders like Jon Snow. Why? That motherfucker will not bend the knee. Reasonable. He's a fucking empty-headed moron, but okay. Black immigration is too small. All right, making it about that. And here's where it ends. We can't comprehend how anyone could repeatedly see police blast holes into black boys and girls and counter with Blue Lives Matter. It's Game of Thrones, mate. It's Game of Thrones, mate.
Can somebody call his mum? His head's gone. His head's fully gone.
It is Game of Thrones, isn't it? We couldn't fathom how poor white people would believe that a billionaire, vagina-grabbing, nectarine-coloured trust fund baby with a brain like a head of wilted lettuce and covered by a shitty lace front would rescue them from poverty. We are too prone to believing in their pledge of allegiance to notice them behind our backs, plotting to stab us to death. This is white people, of course. We have been brainwashed too long to believe that they will sick their dragons on us, burn our ships, lock us in dungeons, murder our children, decapitate our fathers, massacre our brothers and mothers when they have been convinced they are among friends and family. Perhaps this is our prize mistake. Our hearts are too big, and we want to believe what they've told us. Game of Thrones teaches us that if we are to remain alive, we must always remember that even when they are offering a kiss, there might be poison in their mouths. Fucking well, that'll help promote. That'll help promote racial harmony. That'll help. That'll help bridge all the gaps in America, won't it?
On this episode of My Writing, why I want a civil war and how we could spark one.
Mad, isn't it? I don't know. We're losing, Sam. Theme of the show, we are losing. These were the funny bits. it's not funny, is it? None of it's funny. Maybe the guy jerking off to the Emoji Movie. I suppose this was funny. I got sent this by loads of people, but me, I didn't smell bullshit. All those days on the farm, they paid off, right? Because loads of people sent me this. Affinity Magazine. Okay. Here it is. And loads of people sent me this. Oh, Richard, this is outrageous. Look, do white men really deserve to vote? It's just like that Huffington Post article. Yeah, that Huffington Post article was proved to be a hoax and got the editor in all sorts of trouble. And, you know, Huffington Post said, we're going to fucking, redouble our efforts to have a higher standard. Brilliant. You're a dumpster fire at the best of times. I don't know what the way up from dumpster fire is. You know, you can start by putting the fire out, I suppose. But do white men really deserve to vote over at Affinity Magazine? Never even really heard of Affinity Magazine. Okay. And you can see it was all women at the top. Yay. And it's by a writer called Marlia Rolt. And again, people were up in arms about it. But this is fake as fuck. This was fake news. This was a hoax. Super short. And see, last time a journalist dared to use their platform and freedom of speech to discuss this question on the Huffington Post, she was silenced and the article was taken down. And of course, that article was a hoax. However, I saw it. And I thought the benefits of reversing white men's suffrage was definitely worth discussing. After all, women and people of color went through times of not being allowed to vote. And the fact that white men never had to experience that is an injustice. Despite the fact that we are given the illusion of democracy today, even though in reality the Electoral College decides our future for us, do oppressors of minorities and women deserve to choose to continue our oppression, or should we help them by withdrawing the right to vote from them for a while until we can truly get on the same page and connect? And of course, loads of these conservative commentators were all they were doing the re-dance. The reverse re, because they thought it was real. It's not real, right? Just look at some of the articles that this account has written. They're ridiculous. They are designed to provoke a reaction from conservative commentators to catch you in traps, in the same way 4chan puts stuff out there like, haha, the dab is really a racist symbol. It's so you can hide doing the Roman salute. And people believe this and report on it. People start believing the OK symbol. These were traps put out by things like 4chan and stuff. This is a trap to catch you in an act of hypocrisy, and it worked for a lot of people. So it's people going, oh, my God, how dare they say this? This is hate speech. Hang on. You are the guys who say there's no such thing as hate speech, which is true, as according to the First Amendment. You acted hypocritically. And here's the thing, key thing. I learned this with the acrostics in the Phantom Lord cease and desist letter. Marlia Rolt. What a ridiculous name, right? It's only an anagram of I'm a troll.
Goddy.
How the fuck can people not smell that bullshit, man? So yeah, it was a massive trap. And people fucking just blundered into it, didn't they? Just blundered in like the morons they are. Also saw this. Again, it's interesting, isn't it? You remember we talked on the last show about the oral sex gap. And the oral sex gap. And bizarrely, it was like all this, like, if your man refuses to go down on you, beat him to death. Like reasonable, you know, reasonable stances like that, reasonable hot takes. So I was looking at this, new article that came out on Vice. And it's really interesting what women's sexual liberation has become. For example, I talked to a lot of kind of first wave and second wave feminists, and again, studied sociology, so know about feminism and what it achieved at a time when it was absolutely necessary and there were very real battles to fight. And they all talk about how one of the great liberating things was the pill, because it allowed women to control not only reproduction, but, you know, their menstrual cycle, gave them sexual freedom without having to necessarily risk, you know, being caught by, you know, evil other partners and stuff. It was a very liberating thing. Now these publications tell you the pill is evil and is a form of enslavement, you know, and that women shouldn't take the pill, and actually men should take the pill. And that's fine. I think most guys would love a male pill. But then there was that incident, wasn't there, where they did trials for a male pill, and loads of people reacted to it badly. I think they did like a control group of 50 or something, and loads of feminist and leftist blogs were going, see what we've known all along, men can't handle it, you know, we get side effects too. Two men nearly died, like their heads swelled up to the size of the Elephant Man, and nearly. Doesn't happen to you, does it, darling? Come on. But yeah, of course, you know. So anyway, people are trying to take they're trying to dial it back and take shit away. So now whenever I read about sexual liberation for women, which I think is a great thing, it's really weird. There's this like tone to it now where it's like, if men don't do these things in bed, they are bad. And I always understood it this way, that between consensual adults, if you don't want to do something, you shouldn't force the other person into doing it sexually, because that's abusive. That's my take on it, you know? Like, I'm pretty sure if, you know, I'm in bed with a partner of any gender, any of the 10,000 genders, and I'm just like, I want to get my salad tossed, and I'm just hovering over them, just pushing my, you know, pushing my asshole in the face. Toss the salad. Toss the salad. I don't want to toss the salad. Toss the fucking, you toss that fucking salad.
Lick my ass. You gotta lick my ass.
Put some lick jelly on that and just toss my. Right. If I was doing that, I'd expect to be called, like, you know, that's sexual abuse. All right. Just saying. But now, check this out, okay? So this is on Vice, and again, link it to the previous episode with the oral sex gap, where it's like, if men refuse to do this, kick them out, you know, blah, blah, whatever. Force them into doing it in exchange for sex. So just have a look at some of these quotes in this article. So this is the article, and it's about period sex, okay? And again, this is a divisive issue. Sex while people are menstruating. Personally, I don't give a fuck. I'll tell you some stories. I mean, not graphic stories, but a lot of women, and I think it's to do with hormones, which I suppose we're not allowed to acknowledge as being real anymore, that men and women have different hormones, because woe betide if we say men have more testosterone and women have more estrogen, just as
how
a rule.
Dare you?
Just as a, yeah, I've gone too far, Sam. I'm a sexist, obviously. I'm a misogynist. But, you know, I don't know if it, I don't know the reasons for it, but a lot of women I've been with, you know, like in long-term relationships, they used to get especially horny around about that time of the month. That would be the time. And also, it's well documented medically that sex can help with the cramping. So I used to look on it as, well, you know, fucking, if once a month I was stricken down with horrific cramps and, you know, in my balls, and getting a fucking Hummer would fucking give me some relief, but the cum that came out was green instead of white.
It's just moldy cum.
It's not that. But you know what I mean? I'd be like, come on, darling, sort me out. Like, I'm in
it's
pain.
It's fucking green. And,
yeah, and you'd be like, come
you're
on.
Jetting gone,
you
know, off
we're
milk.
Together. If we're going to do this, if we're going to do this long term, we're going to fucking change each other's diapers into our 60s. Let's just get this out of the way now. So I'd do it. So I used to do it. I considered it a courteous thing to do.
It was an act of humanity.
Yeah, it was a humanitarian act, dude. You know? And look, there's no getting around that it's more gross than sex when it ain't happening. There's more cleanup to be done. There's smells. There's stains on the bed if you ain't careful. Usually, you can't really help
smells.
That. But no, it's not like that. So I do always pick up fucking Rocco every time.
It totally smells. Sex.
I hope you don't learn everything about sex.
Yeah, exactly. He's
one of
those. Rocco.
Mate, he's just an horrible cunt.
It totally smells.
He's not. Yeah, it's not. What if it was? Yeah, it definitely wasn't only smells. So anyway, but you know, it's understandable to me that some people might not want to do it. It's understandable that some people might not want to do it. Some people, I know this sounds mental, right? But some people like really struggle with the sight of blood. I don't understand it, but I've seen people just fucking faint. Like some guy's having a nosebleed. Whoop, bit of a nosebleed. And some guy, yeah, he's just out like in a fucking comedy, you know? Like, oh, it's crazy. So, you know, some people just struggle with blood in general. It's not that it comes out of your, you know, holiest of holies. It's just blood. People just don't like it. You know, in certain cultures, which apparently we have to accept and all cultures are equal. Well, some cultures have taboo about menstrual blood. It's in the Bible. You know, I don't know if people know this. Which one was it? Is it Leviticus? I don't know. One of the Old Testament books. I think Leviticus. Leviticus always seems to be the one that has all the crazy rules and regulations in whenever it comes up. So it's probably Leviticus. But anyway, in one of the Old Testament books, it says like when a woman's, you know, having got the painters in, you got to send her out the fucking village. Well, why? Like, just get away from me. That's so unreasonable.
Go and fight for survival. Get out my eyes.
But some people take that shit very seriously. And it's not just Christianity. A lot of religions have a taboo about menstrual blood especially. So some people just aren't going to be into it. Some people just aren't going to be into it. Yeah, people are telling me it is Leviticus. Who fucking knew? Jesus Christ. I can't believe I pulled that up my fucking brain. I'm fucked. I shouldn't even know about the Old Testament, really, but whatever. So anyway, let's just have a look at some of these choice quotes from this article. Because you think, well, maybe it's reasonable, right? Okay, well, I take period sex as a feminist issue, to be honest, a woman told me. Any guy that is not down for it can fuck right off.
Reasonable as fuck.
Yeah, that's sound, isn't it? One of my strongest memories from my scum of a high school boyfriend is fighting with him, making up, asking if he wanted to come over, and he would ask if I was on my period, me shamefully admitting yes, to which he said, nah, no thanks. Now, as a grown-ass woman, I delight in period sex, except for the mess of semen.
Why have you got to write that down for, though? Get a grip! What the fuck is wrong with you?
Which is particularly good at staining everything.
Grow up. Why have you got to write that?
Okay. So here's another quote from there. Claire said she understands that women might not want to have period sex. Okay, cool. So some women might be against it. I mean, I had never even thought of that angle. Yeah, but I suppose it makes sense, right? You know, people can be self-conscious. You know, I'm not. I'm definitely not self-conscious in the bedroom. You know, anything goes. Anything fucking goes. Like, if you're going to do that, just go fucking crazy. Like, there's no, you can't just get like a little bit of, oh God, no. Like, fuck that. Go crazy. But Claire said she understands that some women might not want to have period sex because with casual hookups, because it's a bit more intimate and messy and therefore requires a higher level of trust. If you're in a relationship, there's no reason it shouldn't be on the table unless the girl doesn't like it. Guys shouldn't be able to veto it.
So I'm getting raped then, am I? Let's just clear this right now. So you're advocating for a rape.
I mean, keep in mind, those are interviews. Those are quotes, right? So does the person writing the column, this incredibly in-depth, enlightening opinion piece, does the writer necessarily agree with that view? Or is she going to take the more moderate tone of saying, you know what, though, if you're in a relationship, you should, you know, talk to your partner about what you're comfortable with, where the boundaries are, and that should be the basis of a healthy sex life. No, actually, she says, I agree. Men who are scared of period sex need to back the fuck off. All right, cool, sound. So I thought that was interesting.
I've got to have slimy blood on my dick because you say I need to. Yeah, sound reasonable as fuck.
So yeah, I just thought it was a bit weird, like just to be that aggressive about it. You know, like why would you be aggressive about it to that degree?
Fuck me.
Yeah, just relax. Like, I'm all right. You know, like, again, some people are not going to be into that. And in a relationship, you should try and, you know, find that consensus. Find what makes you feel comfortable. I guess I'm crazy. Okay. Another crazy story. This one, this one is a minefield. Because you know what's been happening in games. What's been happening increasingly in esports, and what's been happening in YouTube and the internet and all that other stuff. Where again, progressives and leftists are trying to embed themselves and take over the industry. You know, it happened with Magic the Gathering, they tried to do it with tabletop board games. They just like to go anywhere where they're not the prevalent culture, complain until somebody in authority panders to them, and then that becomes the norm. And then, you know, it seems mad to me. I always liken it to, let's just say that I decided I'd had enough. I can't imagine this. I've had enough of American society, and I decide to go to an island, just, you know, in the middle of nowhere with like an indigenous people. One of those, you know, the islands down near New Zealand and that. I decide I'm just going to chill with the Maoris. And, you know, just to hunt and fucking whatever, right? And I just decide I'm going to do that. Now, if I get there and they're all like, okay, well, you know, on Wednesdays we worship this, and, you know, Thursdays is when we do this thing, and Friday is hunting day, and by the way, you can't wear Western clothes. We don't like that. Here's a grass skirt or whatever. You know, you got to wear this necklace. Any animals you kill, you got to keep a trophy and wear it so we can all see how effective a hunter you are, because that'll help us in society. And they just give me a list of rules. You know, I think it would be a little bit ridiculous of me. It'll be like 1 week in. Oh, that's a bit shit this, isn't it? A bit shit this. Listen, guys, can we stop with this fucking, you know, Wednesday chanting bullshit? Can we stop with that, please? No, but that's how we're giving praise to our gods, and so we have all the food and sun and protect. Nah, listen, mate, I don't like it. It's just a bunch of fucking noise. It's waking me up at fucking 6 a.m. I've got a hangover from all the rum I'm pounding secretly, because for some reason in my fantasy you reject alcohol as well, but I'm a baller. And it's just got to stop. Well, no, we're not going to stop. You're the minority. We're the majority. We dictate how the culture is. Oh, okay. Cool. And if then I called up a bunch of my fucking militant mates to start harassing these fucking people, taking their food away, you know, fucking making their lives miserable, burning down their huts. And I'm like, and they're like, okay, look, ever since we said to you we weren't going to stop the Wednesday chanting, our lives have been shit, so we've decided we're going to stop it. I'm like, yep, brilliant, works for me. You know, like, that would be so unreasonable, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
And yet this is the thought process and modus operandi of progressives and leftists. It's bonkers. It really is bonkers, but not as bonkers as this. This is insane. All right. So comic books have been increasingly under pressure to create social justice creations. What they've been doing is, instead of actually creatively writing characters, you know, why not write a strong black character? Why not write a strong female character? What they do is they take an existing character and then they go, hey, everyone, Iron Man's black now. And everyone goes, well, all right, I suppose, yeah. Like, there's no reaction. Yeah. There's no, like, outcry. But someone will go, could you have written a original strong black character, or perhaps do a run of some of the existing many strong black characters? And then, hey, look at him, he's racist, he can't handle it. We took away your Tony Stark, did we? Racist. All I said was, I don't just be a little bit creative, right? And that's what happens every goddamn day in the comic book industry, right? So, because there is no creativity. These people hate art. They hate art. They hate freedom of expression. So it should come as no fucking surprise, logically, when you follow that to where it ends up. Where does it end up if you hate freedom of expression and creativity? Oh, right, that's right. You can't create. You can't create anything because you're a fucking idiot. Because you think that the creative process is a tad problematic. You might create something I disagree with. Yeah, it happens all the fucking time. Happens all the time. And we just get on with it and the world keeps turning. You know, nah, don't like it. So anyway, also what they've been doing is they like to kind of try and be subversive. But again, the only thing you achieve when you do shit like this is just a jaw-breaking yawn. Oh, God, no, please. Like, no one cares. And none of these comics sell, by the way. It's not that they're making money. The core audience is so repulsed by them. They generally do, like, 4 editions. Some might complete a run of, like, 10 to 12 and then never get made again. So here we go. They brought back a character, right? So DC's Legends of Tomorrow have brought back a character that used to exist. Hang on, let me just show you this. There you go. I just saw that. So thanks a lot for the $300 donation, Jim Blazin. Appreciate that, mate. We'll get at you. Thanks very much. But anyway, so DC's Legends of Tomorrow is getting a new cast member, and the cast member is specifically created as a rebuttal to Donald Trump, right? So you're like, okay, the DC Legends of Tomorrow, this is the TV spinoff from the comics. What are they, what's the new character going to be? So they've resurrected an old character and made them a Muslim, which is fine. But they've then kept the character's original name, their actual name, which is ISIS.
That'll show those Trump supporters, man.
Jews!
Bruh.
I can't. Please.
You can't call a Muslim ISIS, dude. That's so unreasonable.
Right. So, look. The executive producer of the show said, you might have heard there was this election. He joked. Not to get political, but something we all gravitated towards in the writers' room was making this character a Muslim. Now, the original character, which is called Zari Adriana Tomas, who was known as ISIS originally back in the 70s, all right, it's got to be said, in the 70s, was an every woman who had discovered an ancient magical amulet. It was one of those, you know, magic was kind of big in the DC universe. And she could transform into the Egyptian goddess Isis. But there was no, like, you know, she wasn't a Muslim character. In fact, you know, there was no sort of backstory, certainly nothing religious, nothing faith-based. And then she got resurrected in, like, the mid-2000s and came back. And now they're putting her in TV. But they've just added the caveat that she's a Muslim, but they're keeping the Egyptian goddess Isis name. And I just think this so retarded, guys. Please, like... Please.
How brain dead are they, mate? These liberals.
Yeah. And, you know, it comes back to the whole thing about representation in films, which is, you know, it's a valid point, I suppose. You know, look, I'm smart enough to know that if I was looking at a superhero movie and it was all blonde-haired, blue-eyed, Aryan pinup boys running around saving the day, and all the villains were of different ethnicities, I'd have a problem with that. You know, like, I'd see that and go, come on, this is pretty off-putting. But that isn't what's happening, right? And it hasn't been, apart from maybe Hitler's Germany. So, yeah, I don't think having a Muslim American character in a TV show called ISIS as a response to Trump is really the right tone you want to go with. Maybe I'm crazy. But, yeah, so they're brilliant. What else? A couple of others, and then we'll take the break, and then we'll do the Google memo. Oh, Lord, Lord, Lord. Oh, yeah, here we go. Here's some things. Mandatory social justice. What could be better, right? What could be better? What could be better? Mandatory social justice. Just sounds so, ooh, what can I do to get me some of that mandatory social
Love
justice?
Love anything that's mandatory, mate.
Yeah, mandatory stuff just makes my dick hard. Mandatory social justice. So Oregon State University has now decided, and again, you know, I suppose this is appropriate but when we segue into the Google memo, they've decided to make social justice and diversity training mandatory if you want to attend the university, if you want to go. This is the indoctrination process. Wrought large. So Oregon State University is instituting mandatory diversity education for students who live on the campus. So if you want to take advantage of the cheap campus housing and the benefits and subsidies thereof, you must attend. You absolutely have to. And in addition to that, they've hired somebody who is qualified in, I don't even know what this is, social justice education. To oversee the project. So this was picked up by Campus Reform at the start of the week, I think. And basically, they need an assistant director of diversity initiatives and programs who would get $61,500, more than a professional Overwatch player. And requires a successful applicant to have a bachelor's degree in social justice or a related field with at least 5 years' experience in diversity and social justice education. I don't know what these things are. These aren't real, are they? What is social justice education? It sounds like a fucking oxymoron to me. But yeah, so you have to attend these, you know, courses. If you're a freshman, and basically what it's going to include is, you know, like kind of all the stuff that we talk about. You know, you'll have to learn that gender is a spectrum, for example, regardless of whether or not you believe that. You'll have to agree that if you're white, you have white privilege and white fragility, and what are the terms they decide to promote. You'll have to attend that and agree that these are accurate depictions of reality, which most people should reject this notion. But in addition to that, they also have something called a bias response team. Yeah, what could a bias response team possibly be? It sounds like we'll probably get this. This will be the next DC comic. Bias Response Team, led by ISIS. But yeah, the Bias Response Team is for people who witness any incident of bias, okay, because bias is harm. And they define bias as microaggressions. So if you go to the website, it says here, experiencing or witnessing a bias incident can result in physical, I don't understand how this is true, but it can result in physical trauma and emotional trauma. I don't know where the physical trauma comes in. All members of the community who have been impacted by a bias incident are encouraged to report it by submitting a bias incident response form. So this is basically anonymous snitching to a group of people who are indoctrinated into the ways of social justice. If you see something you don't like, a microaggression, you can report somebody doing it, and a bias response team will arrive and fucking get the people. We'll get them, snatch them up, and demand that they explain themselves. So it sounds like a great place to go and get a degree, Sam.
Yeah, definitely where I want to be.
Yeah, I'd like to be there. The best years of my life, would certainly love, would certainly love to spend it there. Okay, what else have we got? The man tax, I suppose. We can talk about that. Did you see this?
That calf.
Yeah, it was a cafe. So even though on the last show, vegans were being called out for not doing enough to encourage black vegans. Don't even know what you do. Have a drive. Like, do you black people? Why not try veganism? Is this not racist? I don't know. But that's what an article said. We read it last week. Now vegans, these are the woke vegans. Why a dietary choice has to have some political connotation attached to it, I don't
understand.
Vegan
always
but
does.
This is
I don't know, it just seems like they always are, aren't they? It's always mad, far left, nut jobs.
Yeah, it's just crazy. They're like, we must do more to encourage veganism among the black community. I don't understand that. I don't understand why that's a thing. I don't know, some of that would be a mission statement of a dietary choice. Like, you either want to be a vegan or you don't. That's it. But anyway, this vegan cafe decided to charge a man tax. This is in Australia, rapidly falling apart. Unfortunately, another country falls. Shame. Always liked Australia. But this is something called the Handsome Her. All right, great name. I'm in. And what it does is to shine a light on the gender pay gap. Which doesn't exist. Shine a light on the gender pay gap, which doesn't exist. They're bringing in rules, which means men who eat there have to pay 18% extra in a man tax. And if a man is sat down, but a woman comes in and there's no seating, men will be told to leave their seats so women can sit down and eat. Which seems reasonable. I seem to remember America doing something similar to that in the 50s with black people. Do you remember that? Yeah, it was called institutional racism. Do you remember? It's kind of a big deal, civil rights movement, all that stuff. So yeah, no problem. And they're saying they're raising awareness about it. So I don't get it. I this is actual gender discrimination. I'm pretty sure that this would be illegal. No doubt they'll find it. I mean, if you remember those Wonder Woman screenings, which were exclusively women in New York, do you remember that?
Yeah, I remember.
We did talk about it briefly on the show. Turns out that was completely illegal. And now that some people are looking at a class action lawsuit against the theaters that had them. Because to deny somebody entry on the to a public building, and theaters are included in New York legislation, to deny somebody entrance to a building or to deny them access to certain services on the basis of their gender is, of course, discriminatory. And I imagine somebody will find a similar rule here. But that's Australia. Vegans living the dream. And what else have we got before we go to the break? Let's just see here. Okay, two things. Forced memes. There's nothing worse than when the media tries to fucking force. This is the coolest meme.
You see, like a new brand, like they've obviously hired a fucking young social media guy. Yeah. I can bring all the memes, and you just see him posting GIFs. Like, grow the fuck up. I don't need McDonald's to be posting GIFs. Just grow up. Cook the burgers.
Like this. So this is, they just tried. I don't even know why this publication decided to try and just force this meme, because you can't force a meme. That's the point. They're organic. They have to be. That's the memetic quality. They grow organically and contain lots of information, some of it semiological in nature. And there's it's a shorthand. It's a form of cultural shorthand that as soon as I post the meme, you get the joke, because that probably works on many levels. To some people, it's a cartoon frog. To others, it's an ironic political statement. To others, it's an expression of whether something feels good or feels bad. And to others still, it's a symbol of universal hate because they don't get the joke.
They're mentally ill.
That too. So memes can't really be forced. They can't be forced, Sam. It doesn't work that way. Right? Now, this is Pride, and they tried to force this meme. What is this meme? Right in front of my salad is the internet's newest meme. Like, did you know this?
No.
Did you hear this one? I didn't see it either. Now, keep in mind, they're actually guilty of digital blackface here, if we believe. Right? So, yeah, watch yourself. You're on fucking notice. You're getting done for the thought crime. But look, it says, they explain the meme in the opening paragraph. If you just can't believe someone's behavior, may we recommend the latest expression of disbelief sweeping the nation? Right in front of my salad?
That's a good one.
It's good, isn't it? Really funny. Like, I'm buckled. Look, so they show examples, and like they get all their like sort of journo mates to sort of wade in with it. Are you guys really going to start talking about back to school? Right in front of my salad? Good one. Are you guys really eating dead animals? Right in front of my salad? Good one. You may now kiss the bride. Right in front of my salad? Come on. Where's the funny bit? So, right in front of my salad. The media, when they try to force memes. This is so bad. Like, I mean, this is so arse puckeringly bad. Stop. What were you thinking? Why have you done this? It's just not, you can't do this. This is like Amy Schumer. Please stop.
Mate, do you see what the origin is? I almost got us banned then. Like, I reacted quick. The origin is from like a gay porn or something. Mate, watch that YouTube video. It says in the thing it's from porn. I can't scroll down because I can't click it because I don't know what's being shown. On that article, look at that YouTube video.
Do I want to do that?
Probably. You can't not watch enough of it. You watch it, check if it's safe, and then I can show it. But it didn't look safe.
So basically what you're saying is two guys are having sex in front of a woman eating salad, and she said, I mean, that would be funny.
That is funny, yeah.
That is funny. But you can't just take, right, you can't take an obscure gay porn line and make it a meme. No one understands it. The whole point of a meme is you get it. You know where it comes from. There's an understanding there. I haven't seen the porn movie. Have I? I haven't watched that yet. You know what I mean? It's like that one. If I just started with the fucking... You remember the one with the didgeridoo?
Yeah, yeah.
Didgeridoo Me Up the Arse, yeah, or whatever it was called. If I just started slipping that into polite conversation or tweeting about it, people would be like, what the fuck you want about me? I'm going to didgeridoo you. Are you having a stroke, Rich?
Yeah, yeah, like an injury. I don't know. It's video, mate.
Ooh, mate. To be fair. See, that could be hilarious, mate. I mean,
I'll play it with just the sound. You can watch the video.
No, mate, we're not playing the sound.
I don't think it's full straight morning. Like, I think it's a dialogue part. He is getting railed at the time.
We're not doing this.
Come on, man.
We're not playing.
Why, Sam, I'm not doing the audio.
yeah, mate. I'm wired up to the electrodes right now, measuring my fucking inherent gayness. Like, come on, dude. I'm not playing. Fucking gay porn sound on my Twitch stream.
Are you serious?
Right in front of myself?
Are you serious?
Well, this is the most uncomfortable delay of my life. What's I'm bringing up on screen?
I'm not bringing up on screen. It's not safe. He's just getting straight bummed. Like, I don't know if it's on YouTube, to be honest.
Yeah, that it's on YouTube.
You don't see any knob, like, but it's very obvious that is indeed what is happening.
Seems reasonable. Anyway, I'm glad that's on your search history. So, you enjoy that, mate. Anyway, the final story, right in front of my fucking salad. It's a meme now. It became funny. Reminded me of you, Sam. Because, again, local crime news. And this is a guy who was arrested in Pierce County because he's addicted to huffing whipped cream.
Straight whips.
51-year-old, and he would huff between 50 to 75 whipped cream cans a day.
Why did you do real drugs, though? Probably cheaper.
No. This is what's mental. He was spending between $1,000 to $1,500 a month on cream.
You can get crack for cheaper than that, mate.
That's what I mean.
You could have been living come the vida loca, mate.
Come round my gap. Put that money into the local economy. Do you know what I mean? A fucking grand on cream.
Could have just bought a fucking, you know, an actual canister of nitrous if you wanted to get fucked up. A big, massive one.
God, the world. It's a sick-sad world, Sam. It's a sick-sad world. Right, anyway, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to delve into the fucking horror of the Google memo. Oh, I've got to really get mentally strong for this. So, yeah, I'm going to delve into my book of sociology. We'll be back in about 3 minutes.